My name is Pearson.
My name is Pearson.
You are listening to Our Papa on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Mike Graber provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello, and once again, thank you for tuning in to Retirement Talk. Always great to have you along, and we hope you're having just a great day. I know we have many longtime loyal listeners, and I just want to let you know that we appreciate that. Today, we're looking at an article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, and the title of this article is Many Retirees Don't Know About This Major Risk, and they ask the question, do you? And Mike Decker is the author of this article for Kiplinger. And the article says, it's common to meet someone who believes that all of their assets or a high percentage of their assets should be invested in equities or stocks, even during their retirement years. And that rationale is based on that over longer periods of time, equities tend to provide more growth potential versus other asset classes. And I think most of us would agree, and most financial advisors would agree, that that's generally true. However, and let me say that again, however, these beliefs are pointing to long-term averages. And when you look a little deeper, when you dig a little deeper, it can be misleading, and that generates many questions that need to be considered. And we're going to dig deeper into this question today by asking the question, how much of your assets should you have invested in equities and stocks? First, let's bring in Tony Shore to the discussions today. Tony, once again, welcome and thanks for being with us.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Great to be here on the show with you today. Great, great topic. You've got another good one, valuable information for our listeners, and I think a key consideration as everyone out there works to make their retirement income strategy stronger. You want to make sure they're durable for the long term. And I know you've shared, Mike, so many examples over these past 3 years on your show. Examples of portfolios you reviewed for retirees with very high percentages of their retirement assets in equities, either individual stock positions, mutual fund holdings. And I remember you saying it's not uncommon to see retirees with 80 or 90% of their life savings allocated to equities. I know a lot of people have 100% of retirement funds. Well, with the exception of Social Security and 401ks or IRAs. So I think today's show can be really helpful in answering that question. What is a right amount of our life savings to have invested in equities? And I'm looking forward to information from the article you mentioned and what you have to add from your 43 plus years of experience. First of all, Mike, I can't believe that it's been 43 years. You must have started when you were, what, 10?
Yeah.
You don't look a day over 50. Tony.
Yeah. So I fit a lot in a short period of time. How's that? But, you know, it is a very important question. It's something that we come across quite often where people have most people would consider very high percentages of their assets invested, you know, in the markets, and we want to talk about that today. So let's jump into this article by Kiplinger. And there's a couple of main questions or arguments that they raise. The first is that averages are a great tool to use when you're approaching and planning for retirement, but we have to look beyond that. We have to look a little deeper. And the second is that the market has a history of going flat for periods of 10 years or more. You know, and that in itself then appears to be a cycle that's repeated, you know, every 20 to 25 years. So when and if that happens again, it could create some very serious, you know, issues for retirement portfolios. And we've mentioned on our show before Guggenheim's analysis and study, you know, the history of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that analysis points exactly to what this Kiplinger article is saying, you know, that there have been periods where the markets have been flat for a number of consecutive years. So let me point out a few of those time periods here right now. The first would be from February of 1906 through June of 1924. So that's an 18-year period, and the cumulative return of the Dow Jones Industrial Average for that 18 years was a negative 4.29%. So from the beginning in 1906 to through the 1924, you know, the market actually was down over that period of time by a little over 4%. The second period of time pointed out is from September of 29 to November of 1954. Now that's a 25-year period. And the cumulative return was 1.69%. So if I were to ask the question, you know, when the market meltdown happened, you know, in 1929, how long did it take the market to recover? Well, the answer was 25 years. The third time frame is from February of 1966 to October of 1982. And over that period of time, which is 16 years, the market's return was less than 1% total at 0.83. And then in more recent history, from November of 2000 to December of 2010, there's an 11-year period, the cumulative return for the Dow Jones Industrial Average was only 0.07. So very definitely, everyone needs to understand, you know, how market cycles tend to work. You know, it's happened before, as this article points out, and as the Guggenheim analysis, you know, clearly shows. And if too much of your nest egg is allocated into equities or stocks, or, you know, too much of your overall retirement income plan is dependent on, you know, the markets are always going to go up, I think we need to revisit that thought, and we need to think carefully about the information that we're presenting today and that's available on various websites and by firms like Guggenheim, and ask ourselves, you know, are we allocating our funds as wisely as we can, considering the history of the markets? You know, one of our big goals here at Compass Retirement Advisors and with Retirement Talk has been to share information. We believe that sharing information and the more information that we can share, that puts our clients in a better position when they're making their decisions, they're making informed decisions. And then the main goal is that will lead to better outcomes. And that's what I want for all of my clients, for all of our listeners, you know, is a better retirement outcome. That's why we do our show each week. That's why we present the information that we do. Hopeful that it can be helpful, it can be beneficial, and lead to better retirement outcomes for the people who are listening here in Southwest Indiana and our neighboring states, and who listen to our podcast, Tony.
Well, yeah, and Mike, I love that. More information equals better decisions, which leads to better outcomes. That's great, good information. And, you know, that Guggenheim study is right in line with the Kiplinger article you're talking about. And recently you've talked about sequence of returns risk, and we hear that once in a while. And another equity allocation message that deals with this same concern, having too much of your hard-earned life savings over-allocated to equities and at risk, that can be the cause of some issues that hopefully could have been avoided or could have been avoided.
Yeah, you know, that's it, Tony. And that's a lot of our perspective, you know, is if we can avoid what some might term, you know, self-inflicted injuries or self-inflicted damage to our retirement portfolios, you know, preparing in advance and using this information to make wise allocation choices. And we won't have to maybe live through the consequences of having too much of our income dependent assets and invested in equities. And this is absolutely a big issue. You know, most people believe, you know, as I do, and as I mentioned earlier, most advisors do, you know, the market always comes back. It has. But we have to be knowledgeable and we have to ask, you know, a few more questions. And I think the question that we're wanting to highlight today is, you know, when the markets do decline, you know, how long does it take the markets to come back? And where in my need to use the asset to create my retirement income, you know, might that fall? We certainly don't want to be in a position where we're a couple of years from retirement and the markets take a significant a decline, and then we're waiting for the markets to get back where they were, and we have one of these extended periods of time, and now I'm facing the decision of, you know, do I go ahead and retire when my portfolio is down? I don't know how long it's going to come back, or do I work a few more years past my anticipated retirement date just to let the market try and come back? So, and I think that's what I see too often is people who have that retirement date approaching, you know, still have their foot pressing on the gas pedal too much and are over allocated to equities. And if the markets go in the wrong direction, you know, it can affect their plans. And I think that's, again, the point of today's Kiplinger article. And that's what the Guggenheim analysis and report shows. You know, the markets, you know, have a history of not bouncing back as quickly as they did, you know, like when the recent pandemic drop, you know, that was a significant drop, but in a relatively short period of time, the markets came back. But that's not always the case. If you're listening and you would like a copy of that Guggenheim report, you know, the history of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you can just Google that phrase and it'll be right there on your computer screen. Or I would be more than happy to send you a copy of that. My phone number here at Compass Retirement Advisors is 812-787-0809. Just call me and ask for the Guggenheim report, and we'll get it sent to you. You know, historically speaking, the markets have gone flat. That means, you know, a zero return for a period of time, 10 years or so, and it seems to repeat every 20 to 25 years, as I mentioned. And just to reiterate some of those time periods of the last 100 years, we had one period that started in 2000, another in 1966, and another in 1929. And why is this an issue to consider? Well, a lot of people follow the 4% rule. Well, if you put all of your assets in equities or you have too much of your portfolio allocated to equities and you're following the 4% rule, you know, you're taking 4% of your portfolio as income each year, then you may find yourself in a difficult situation. You may be in a position where you're depleting that portfolio more rapidly if the markets enter one of these extended flat periods. And as we said, you know, the markets have repeated. And, you know, if we enter another flat cycle, well, that's where the question marks start to appear. You know, what is a safe withdrawal rate of your asset during retirement? And then what types of products are best designed to produce income throughout retirement? We've said on the show before, Tony, that, you know, there are some financial products, financial tools that are designed, you know, and best used in the accumulation phase of our lifetime. And then those might not necessarily be the best products to continue to use when you're making distributions. There may be other products that are designed specifically to protect assets and to minimize volatility and to provide, you know, the income. And it boils down to this, you know, no one knows, you know, the future of the markets. We might be in or entering a flat market cycle right now. Who knows? But creating a sound income plan for our retirement years, you know, based on averages like we've spoken about, may not be the best approach.
This is valuable information for our listeners out there. And you've said before the most important time for most retirement income strategies is really 3 to 4 years right before retirement, and the 3 to 4 years right after retirement, right? A market downturn in either one of those time periods may not give an equity account enough time to recover before you need to pull funds from it. And you don't want to pull funds from those accounts when they're down. So I think the importance of not having too much of one's portfolio exposed to market risk, a downturn or drop, or being in a position to live through an extended flat market period, that's important. Like those you covered today, I can't imagine getting caught in that scenario and having too much of my nest egg overweight in equities or too much at risk. So this might be a good time or place to remind our listeners about the types of guaranteed income series that we aired here on Retirement Talk.
Yeah. Good idea, Tony. Good point there. You know, we did recently air a series where we talked about different types of financial products that can provide income that's not dependent on equities. And especially, I think that was a three-part show over three Sundays. But part three fits especially well with today's information. And you can find that show on your favorite podcast site. If you're subscribing to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber, you can also go to our website, CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com. I think we still have that show posted there. But, you know, one of the reasons that we did that series was because of the growing number of calls that we've been receiving this year from people who are a little concerned about, you know, the uncertainties in the world. If those come from political reasons or market uncertainty, we're coming off a time of, you know, high inflation and where the markets are at their peak. And, you know, recently we're seeing quite a bit of volatility day to day in the markets. And in part three of that series, we covered two financial products, an immediate annuity, and then also a fixed income annuity with guaranteed lifetime income benefits. And the income provided by these products, you know, is not subject to the market risks that we're discussing today or that are outlined by Kiplinger or Guggenheim. And I appreciate you, Tony, reminding me. I think that's a good reminder, you know, that there are alternatives that can provide income during retirement and reduce the amount of exposure that a person has to equities. And as we've talked about today, having an overexposure and a market correcting at the wrong time, like you just said here, you know, that 3 to 4 years before, the 3 to 4 years right after retirement, can add to you know, the pressures of the portfolio to perform. And that's exactly where the sequence of returns risk comes in. So a good reminder.
Well, yeah, and sequence of returns risk is really important to understand. I know you've talked about it on past shows. And if our listeners have questions, they can give you a call. But you don't want to pull money out of your account while it's down if it's in the market. If that account is tied to the market is what that means, really, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, you want to have different types of, you know, accounts where, you know, maybe when the markets are down, you want to pull from an account that's not down, you know, one that has more of a fixed value and allow the equity account that's gone down in value time to recover. But you really have to do this type of planning well in advance of retirement. You can't wait until 6 months before you retire or a year before you retire and have the expectation that you're going to be able to, you know, implement a comprehensive plan. We really encourage our listeners and people that we're talking to, you know, 5 to 7 years before you retire, you really have to you put on the let's get serious about working on an income plan and get all your ducks in a row, get things lined up, start looking at your allocations, coordinating, you know, income streams. You know, how are we going to take this income that we're required to take maybe from RMDs? What impact does it have, you know, on Social Security? What, you know, tax might that trigger if we do it this way versus that way? There's just a lot that goes into it. And so we would encourage everyone who's listening, you know, if you're within 5 to 7 years of retirement, I think it's time to give us a call, 812-787-0809, and we will help you put together that plan. You know, and I believe, you know, another one of the points that we will make frequently, and I want to repeat here again today, is, you know, what a decision we make in one area, what impact does that have on another area of the plan? And that's something that we really have to, you know, take a comprehensive overview approach when looking at, you know, the assets that are available for retirement, looking at what the individual needs and timeframes are within that household, and make sure that things are coordinated. The last thing you would want to do is to make what you think is a good decision, not realizing that it's going to trigger an impact somewhere else in the plan that maybe can make things not as efficient or effective, maybe in fact reduce net income compared to what you thought. So we need to understand that and put together an income plan that reflects those issues and the possibility that market history, as we've talked about today, you know, can repeat itself, you know, and having an income plan that's predicated solely on the market always going up, I think we have to do much better than that. I think our listeners who are creating these retirement income plans and need to do so, I think you deserve, you know, much better than an assumption that, well, based on the averages, the markets have always gone up. Well, what happens in those time periods where the market's flat? You know, it wasn't that long ago we had a 3-year period where the markets were flat. And we have to, you know, recognize the impact that that can have on the long-term sustainability of our plans. So I'll kind of leave it with that, Tony. And I hope that our listeners will, you know, Google the history of the Dow Jones Industrial Average or call us and ask for that Guggenheim report. Most importantly, if you'd like a second opinion, Compass Retirement Advisors is here to provide that for you. Again, as I said earlier, there's no charge, there's no fee, and certainly no obligation to do business with us. We would just like the opportunity to review your accounts. And if we see something that we think merits some more discussion, we'll certainly point that out.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, it's amazing how much information you've packed into our show today, but we're out of time. Give that phone number one more time, Mike.
812-787-0809.
All right, and that does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809 or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, the Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal, fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary and opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustrations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Long-term care riders are not a replacement for long-term care insurance. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Insurance product guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing company. Product and features may vary by state. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained herein is based based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information.